My name's Beverly Holmes.
And I'm Bob Holmes.
Well, the one thing that tripped my mind down here, being this is talking about ranching and farming, is I grew up on a farm east of Cheyenne at Hillsdale, Wyoming. And at the time I was on the farm, there was no electricity and no indoor plumbing. So I had things a lot differently than Bob did.
Because that was a city slicker.
He had radio all the time, and he had favorite shows like...
old Jack Armstrong, you know, and the Lone Ranger. And another thing was that although I may have lived in the city, we had an ice box. And we were on a coal stove, you know, and the heating stove was done with wood. In fact, my dad worked at the paint shop, and he'd bring home the frames that the glass would come in, and that's what we heated the stove with. So we didn't have it real easy, but we had better than she did out in the ranch.
And what was the radio show you liked that you could get a secret ring?
Well, it was Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
Okay. Okay. And my radio listening on the farm was limited to 15 minutes at noon hour so that we could hear the stock market. And at those times, the stock market is not what it is today. It came from KFKA in Greeley, Colorado, yeah. And they gave the results of how many calves it sold and how many sheep and the prices. And so it truly was stock reports, livestock reports. And then on Saturday nights, we could listen to the Hit Parade. And that was 30 minutes on the radio. One evening, I was home alone, and I was about 7 or 8. And I'd never been a good speller. And the Hit Parade top song that week was I've Got a Gal in Kalamazoo. And I could not spell Kalamazoo, but I was fortunate our kitchen range was a Kalamazoo stove. So I could lay on the floor and look up and get the K and then write it down, look at the A. So anyway, I remember I've got a gal in Kalamazoo for that reason.
So. Another one I remember was that my dad just loved Gangbusters. So every Saturday night we had listened to Gangbusters. If you remember that one, it started off with the troops marching, but it was always stories, true stories about criminals. So that was an interesting fact, too.
And they didn't do near the gory stuff on the radio then that on television now.
Yeah, but in fact, with the radio, so it didn't get too loud, I'd have to put my ear next to the box because my mother didn't like all that loud noise, and I'd have to take all these codes for Jack Armstrong so I could get whatever his secret was.
Another thing that comes to mind that both of us shared in different ways was earaches. Because we didn't have any electricity or anything, the way my grandmother would treat my earaches was by heating a bag of salt in the stove oven, and then I would lay with my head on that pillow of salt. Bob had a hot water bottle.
I did have a hot water bottle. But my hearing, and because I was military most of my life, my hearing was bad because my eardrums broke several times. So I from there was scarred. But, you know, I was around artillery, but it didn't rock my ears, believe me.
I kind of like to share with you about our mothers. My mother was born in the same house that I was born in Hillsdale, and she was born in 1914, and she was the youngest of nine. Her seven of her older siblings were born in Kansas, and she and her brother were born in Wyoming, whereas Bob's mother was born in...
Well, she was actually born in Cheyenne. In fact, my grandma, her mother, saw the first Frontier Days. Their house was at Pioneer Park, and that's where the first Frontier Days. And we have a picture of where the first Frontier Days occurred with the wagon circled. In fact, my mother's oldest sister was 20 years younger than she was. Mom was born in 1907, but she was born in, I guess it was 1888 or something like that. There was five children, but there's a homestead when you call Slater, Wyoming. If anybody knows where Slater, Wyoming is, halfway between Chugwater and Wheatland. But as you drop down a hill, there's a white stucco on the right. That was the old homestead. And, in fact, we still have the mineral rights for that homestead, even though they haven't drilled on it yet.
Another ag thought that comes to my mind, I was in 4-H when I lived on the farm, and I had a 4-H calf. My family at that time believed in shorthorns. We weren't Angus or Hereford people. We were shorthorns. And we had a calf sale. The 4-H calf sale was held in front of the depot downtown. And one year my calf decided to run after a card honked its horn, and it drugged me for a block and a half, but I never let go of that calf. Had a lot of scared people running after me, but that was a 4-H memory. just had a friend in Montana send me a 4-H mug because 4-H is going to be celebrating its 100th birthday in 2014. And I really treasure that. And I wrote and told her all the things that I had done in 4-H. One of the things I learned in demonstrations was how to set a table correctly, how to wash dishes correctly, because you wash the glasses first and the pots and pans later. And then I did demonstrations, and our three girls did demonstrations. So 4-H has been very, very beneficial to us through the years. Now, Bob, you were never in 4-H.
I never was in 4-H because we were more city slickers, like I said. And church was the first thing with my family, and then First Baptist Church, that's all we knew, you know, Wednesday and all day Sunday. So it was a different kind of life. It's interesting to go on. The question is how did we meet? Well, we met in high school, and we met at the debate class. And the funny part was I hated English, and I could get out of debate my senior or get out of English by taking debate. So I took debate, and that's how we met.
And debate is a subject that you take in high school, and you have to learn to debate both sides of a question. There's a national question each year, and you have to be able and prepared to debate either side and defend it. And so that was kind of fun, and it taught me an awfully lot, parliamentary procedure and things like that that I learned through.
And the pro and con, you knew what the subject would be, so you had a little tin thing that held the cups in it. So you had your pro and con, but 5 minutes before you were given it, you had to decide if you were going to be the pro or the con. So it was interesting.
World War II, I'd like to share my memories of World War II, of being on the farm. And now when you look around at farms, they have now, in those 60 years since, accumulated a lot of farm machinery. And what the metal drives did in World War II, it caused the farmers and ranchers to collect all the old machinery they no longer used and turn it in for what we now call recycling. And even I remember my mother in town saving lard. She rendered all her lard and put it in one can, and then that went into recycling. And interesting enough, with our history in the National Guard Museum, in World War I, people saved their peach pits because they would grind those up and put them in their gas masks, because there was so much mustard gas in World War I that the fellows had to wear a gas mask, and the filter was made out of peach pits. But back to my memories of being on the farm with the recycling thing, my grandmother had a favorite cast iron skillet, but it was cracked. So it wasn't usable, but she wouldn't part with it until the war came along, and then she decided that was a good cause, so she gave up her cast iron skillet. You must have done something for...
Well, we had a victory garden, I remember that, and it was the... I can't remember the teacher, Eads, wasn't it?
No, Jennings King.
Yeah, it was King. He had a bicycle. He ride over town to check your garden. So yeah, I do remember having a victory garden. And well, I delivered papers. That's how I made money from the time I was probably 14 until 11th grade. Then 11th grade, I went to work at the paper office as delivering papers to the kids that were deliverers. But I think we can go on. Bev's already let the cat out of the bag about the National Guard Museum. It's because that's all she's ever known. When we were first married, I joined the Guard in 1949, and we were married in 51. Well, 42 years later and 37 years of civil service, we finally quit the Guard. But we've had a long time military time. In fact, she's had three girls, but we have two boys. One of them went to the University of Wyoming, graduated a second lieutenant, and stayed in the Army for 21 years, and the other boy went through the Guard. And this is an interesting story, too, is he had long hair in them days, you know. And he came to me
76.
One day. Yeah, and one day he comes to me and he says, Dad, I'd like to join the National Guard. And the first thing I said, well, you know, you got to cut your hair. And he did. But, you know, he knew his piston-driven engines real well, but he wanted to learn about turbo engines. And that's what we were flying with the helicopters. So, and after 32 years later and being a mechanic all of his life, he retired from the military.
And I guess we need to tell you about our children's names, because we are Bev and Bob. And our children's names all start with B. So we have a Bill, Barbara, Betty, Bonnie, and Brad. So, and we even got to the point where we named some of the animals. We had 5 kittens one time, and we named those all with B's. And we had Bubbles and Bangs, and you had a horse named Buck.
And Cindy got her when she was 16 months old. So the horse we didn't get to name, but the one she dropped we named was Buck. Interesting story there, because The youngest boy had to be a B, and I wanted to name him Buck. But Brad or Bev wanted to name him Brad, and in the meantime, I'm elk hunting, so I didn't get to name him. But the horse got named Buck.
Let's talk a little bit about your time in the Guard and what you did do, and maybe the places you worked for the Guard. Your original home was where the 1908 orphanage had been built there in Cheyenne.
On 25th Street. I worked, actually, other than the first year and a half, I worked at the Adjutant General's office, who is over all the Guard, for the total of my career, actually. Sent a lot of troops off, never went myself, because I was the adjutant probably from... Oh, it was about 1962 until I retired in 91. We always called it purple because we had Army and Air both at the AG's office. But I did 8 tours at the Guard Bureau at the Pentagon. Those were more than 90 days, but it was a great experience. And if you ever knew that five-sided building, people think you can get lost, but you once learn that you don't get lost. I need to tell it. My first tour was in 1967, and Bev and the kids, we'd bought a camper, with a truck with a slide-in camper. Her and the 5 kids come back for Christmas, and she drove this thing across country. The kids aren't old enough to drive, so she did it on her own. But anyway, I told her how to get to the place where I was going to meet her. And so somewhere she got messed up, and she's coming down. She calls me in the office. She says, "I'm here." I says, "You're where?" She says, "I'm in the front of your building." I says, "Bev, there's 5 sides of this building." And it turned out she was parked in an admiral slot on that side of the building. So anyway, some guy let her sit there. I went and they rescued her.
Well, that was quite an experience. Yeah. But anyway, a lot of more. And that was fun, that trip, because the kids were 14 and younger. They're only a year apart. So they were 14, 13, 12, 11, and 10. And it was a wonderful time for them to learn the sights of Washington, D.C. And so I would drive that pickup down to by the Lincoln Monument, and the kids would pile out. And here would come a tour guide with a fancy limo, and he had a heck of an offer for us with that many kids. And, of course, we didn't have that kind of money. And I said, "No, we'll see Washington, D.C. on our own." But we were there about 10 days. Yeah. It was Christmas break, and their teachers all excused them to be gone a few days. And we saw all the sights of Washington, D.C.
It was interesting. The guys working for it, the Pentagon, we were trying to find a place to put this camper. Well, in them days, there wasn't RV parks like there is today. We went all the way around. In fact, he took me south of the Beltway in a place called Springfield. Now you know where Springfield, Virginia is, but then it's just been growing. You know, and he says, "It's only been here 3 years," and that didn't shock me at all. But then he says, "There's 500,000 people," and I'm thinking, 500, that's what Wyoming's got. This is a little one town. But we stayed at Andrews Air Force Base because that's where they ended up. I got visited officers' quarters, and they let us park the camper outside the door, and 3 of the kids, was it? 2 of the kids slept in the camper.
The boys slept.
Yeah, and the rest of us, we had enough beds in the quarters. The commissary was only like a block and a half away, and then at that time the Air Force had a boat that they went up the Potomac that you came in on the side I told where she stopped at, and I rode the boat every morning, came home every night on the boat, and they used the truck.
I think we'll switch gears now. It made me think of what the kids did, and they were all in 4-H at different times and did different things, and so that was a great experience for all of them growing up. And then we did every weekend as a family, we water skied, and so we've been on probably all the lakes in Wyoming and still do that. Our middle daughter Betty never misses a summer, except last summer when she had rotator cuff surgery, and she's now at 57, 58 years old. Yeah. And she still water skis every week if she can. So it's been a lifelong family experience. It's worked well. The kids had to skip playing softball and baseball. You just can't do both when you do all those things, but it's been a great family.
Our sports one was Brad. He played basketball and football, lettered in them in high school, and 2 of the kids both got masters. Barbara went for 1 year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Bill, and of course Bill got his through his military, and then Betty ended up with a master's. And it's kind of funny, they're the only 2 that was never married. To tell you something.
And then I guess I'd like to share that I've done a lot of volunteering. First, you do that as a 4-H leader, and that kind of gets you in the groove for volunteering. And I volunteered while the kids were in school with PTA and all that. And then I probably spent about 30 years volunteering for the American Cancer Society. At one time, I was the only layman that represented Wyoming on the national board. So that's been a real, real good experience for me. And then that just leads into all other kinds of volunteering. I represented Wyoming at a national education meeting in Indianapolis with a member of the school board and a member of the school administration building, simply because I had been doing some volunteering. So,
my favorite saying is, don't pay her, she won't do it, she volunteers.
But it's all paid off. Consequently, now we do have the National Guard Museum, and I'm now the volunteer director of that. Bob would come home from Guard and say how they were throwing out the history of the Guard. And I kept saying, they can't do that. That needs to be preserved. And nobody wanted that responsibility. So we organized the Wyoming Militia Historical Society in 1987, and we started collecting items then. And finally, 4 years ago, the Adjutant General at that time, Ed Wright, dedicated a building to us to use for that. And so we've been in that building since then.
Interesting, this building is where I first went to work as a unit administrator. It's the same building, so it's dear to my heart. Anyway, she's always been a volunteer all of her life, honest to gosh. I guess the only time you really got paid is being a teacher's aide.
Yeah.
And she really didn't want to do that, but we needed the money.
In the 70s. So that kind of summarizes our lives, I think, and our family, and included our parents, who are natives of Laramie County, and we're going on, this is 14, in 2 years, my mother would have been 100 years old, and your mom was 100 a long time ago. So we've had our family here for over 100 years. That's pretty neat.